The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Now we're organized. There's a verse where we say, that the monks say, when we close our meditation hall, and many of you may not have heard it because it's something that monks who sleep in the hall recite this verse when they close the hall for the rest day, and it's one of my favorite verses, and I will read it to you and talk about it. The light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance, and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. These church buildings and this ground are guarding the Dharma and the trainees. All meditations and contemplations are full of treasure and wisdom, and because of them, we are going to pray to the 10 Buddhas, and then we recite the names of the 10 Buddhas. There's a lot of teaching and encouragement in this verse, so I thought it'd be nice to talk about today. The light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance, and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. This is an affirmation of faith. No matter what happens, no matter how many difficulties we may encounter, no matter how crazy our world may seem to be, the light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance. Well, how can this be? And what is the light of Buddha? Well, the light of Buddha doesn't just mean Buddhism. It means the light of true wisdom, awakening to truth. And all beings have this light within them. We all have this light of the potential to awaken to truth. The light of wisdom, the light of something that knows what's true. And we just have to get in touch with it. It may look as though the world is more full of suffering than ever and more full of hatred and selfishness and ignorance and awfulness. So how can this light be increasing? Well, individual beings learn to do better. It may look as though the world is terrible, but individuals actually learn something. We learn that living a life of selfishness and hatred is a horrible suffering, and eventually we change. Eventually a person learns. It may take a long time, but learns there's a better way to do things. This has not stood me in good stead. And it does happen that people change like this. It doesn't make the news, generally. It's more likely to make the news when we don't do that. But people change. We change. Sometimes it's a really dramatic turning around. Usually not. Usually it's more a gradual thing, a softening, a gradual changing and softening of the heart, a softening of hatred and opinions and so forth. Doing things in a kinder way. And sometimes it's so gentle we may not even really be aware of it. But the change does happen. The light of Buddha does increase in brilliance. The light of wisdom shining more brightly within a being. No matter who they are, it happens. And when our light of wisdom shines more brightly, it affects other people too. When, as we know, kindness breeds kindness. If we do a kind act, it affects another being, and they might be kind too, or kind back to us, or kind to somebody else. When there's hatred, that breeds hatred. Fear breeds fear. But kindness is stronger because it goes from heart to heart. When there's hatred and fear, it impinges on the self, you know, and we get defensive. But kindness speaks to the heart from another heart. And that kind of gets in there somehow. It goes a lot deeper. Kindness and wisdom go much deeper than fear and hatred and ignorance. We know their value. Everybody does, actually. I think all beings respond to kindness in some way. No matter how hardened or wounded or indifferent people may seem, I think there's something within them that recognizes it and softens even just a little bit from that act of kindness. So I think we all know, kindness is actually a stronger force than all the ignorance and hatred. It's deeper and it's enduring. We all have the potential to learn wisdom and compassion. We all have the potential to change because we all have this light of Buddha within us that recognizes kindness, can give kindness to others, can practice wisdom. No matter what we may have done, no matter what we may do from now on, no matter what may have happened to us, no matter where we may have been, no matter what we may think of ourselves, we all have this light of Buddha. We can't get rid of it. And it does increase in brilliance. We just have to encourage it. It helps if we encourage it and don't cover it up. The wheel of the Dharma is always turning. Again, a statement of faith. And the Dharma doesn't just mean Buddhism. It means truth. The wheel of the Dharma, the dynamic flow of truth, the flow of life itself, in the deepest sense, the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. We cannot stop it. It's always here. We cannot mess it up. And we can harmonize with it. We can do our best to live from truth, to live in harmony with that turning of the wheel of the Dharma, to do our best. The Dharma wheel turns within ourselves and within the world. And when we meditate, keep to the precepts as best we can, practice kindness and wisdom, this helps this Dharma wheel to keep turning within ourselves and within others. Again, we practice kindness, somebody else practices kindness too. It's not a magical thing. In our precepts it says, the wheel of the Dharma rolls constantly, lacks for nothing, and needs something. It needs us, actually. It turns, yes, and yet it needs our effort. It needs us to put it into practice, to make it manifest in the world. That we help the Dharma wheel to turn, that we practice the precepts, we practice meditation, we do our best to train in the way of the Buddha, to train in harmony with truth, to train and allow this light of Buddha to shine forth. It really helps. Our faithful training, our faithful effort, faith in our training, faith that we can do it, faith in the merit of our practice. When we offer merit to somebody, we're actually saying, even if we don't even notice, there is merit in what I'm doing and I'm offering it to somebody else. There is merit in all our aspiration, our attempt to meditate, even if it doesn't feel that we do what we're doing, in all our stumblings and aspirations for the way, our trying to do our best. There's merit. We can do it. Faith in our own ability. Faith in our practice and our worth, our spiritual worth. Don't think that your training is weak or useless. I think lots of us feel that other people train better than I do. Other people meditate better than I do. They keep their precepts better than I do. They're wiser than me. They're nicer than me and all this stuff. I think it's not the case. I think all of us actually do our best. We all have our different history, our different impediments, our different difficulties, our different things we find easy, our different wisdoms. We're all different, and yet we're all on the path together, and you can't compare. And to have faith in one's own practice, our own ability, our own walking the way, helps immeasurably. Never to belittle it, never to think it's useless or not worth doing. Every little moment of trying to train is helpful. It's like thinking, all beings have Buddha nature, but somehow I missed out. you know. We constantly say, oh, all beings have Buddha nature, right. Either, you know, what does that mean? Or somehow I missed it, you know. It's so much easier to judge ourselves and be harsh to ourselves in ways we would never be harsh to others. The wheel of the Dharma turns within us too. We may feel that turning. We may not. Usually we don't. Usually we're just living our life and trying to do our best. Sometimes a person may have great experiences in meditation, but usually we're just trying to bring our mind back and stay awake or, you know, do our best. It's not always impressive. Or so it would seem. But actually, what's more impressive is this steady effort. Sometimes we're distracted, we're sleepy, our mind is in turmoil, but still doing our best to sit in the midst of it all and not be discouraged or not give in to discouragement, just to keep on doing it, keep on training in the way, in faith that it's a good thing to do. Sometimes it feels like we're trying to move a huge, heavy wheel, a huge mill wheel, and we are. We're trying to move a whole karmic force of inertia from many lifetimes of doing things differently. Now we can practice the way of the Buddha. We can move that wheel. What doesn't work is flinging ourselves against it and then backing off. That doesn't work. But if we lean into it, steady pressure, it really helps. Doesn't look like a lot, but just lean into it and keep gradually doing the training, as Reverend Master used to say, steady, continual effort that doesn't look like much, but to keep it up, never to give up. You may feel nothing is shifting, but if you look back, things do shift. They have shifted. We may go back to, you know, if you, those of you who've been here for several weeks, and you go back home and you find, oh, I'm getting on better with my co-workers than I used to. Oh, that thing that used to really annoy me, not a big deal anymore. Or whatever it might be, there's a shift. And when we look back, we see that. Something is changing. Maybe not dramatic, but it's moving. And once it starts to move, the force of inertia helps us on our way. It keeps shifting, just keeps on moving. The steady practice of faith. The Dharma wheel is turning, and we help it to turn. And we trust that this is so. We need to practice faith to keep us going. We have the light of Buddha, we help it to shine. The Dharma wheel turns, we help it to turn. To go on with our verse, these church buildings, or temple buildings, and this ground are guarding the Dharma and the trainees. There is something that protects us, protects our monastery, and helps us, both here and outside of here. When we're training, there's something that helps us on our way and that protects us. Whenever we're practicing the Dharma, we receive help. And again, it's a matter of faith. When we try to keep the precepts rather than do the expedient and comfortable thing, or when we refrain from grabbing something we really know we shouldn't grab, or you take the time to sit still, rather than react angrily or defensively to something. Or we take time with a person when we don't seem to have the time. All of these little ways, these are ways of practicing the Dharma. And they're ways of undermining that self-interest. You know, it's not convenient, I don't want to do it, I haven't got the time, I can't afford it, it's not going to help me. You know, to lay that aside and to sit still and think, what's really good to do here? And then to have the courage to do it. It's a practice of fearlessness. We're not just giving in to the fearful self-interest, but we're relinquishing that and saying, I'm going to do what's best and trust the outcome. And usually, I would say always, it's the best thing to do. Even if in the practical sense it may not seem to be, actually, usually it works out for the best in the practical sense too. And sometimes not, you know. Sometimes our difficulties don't go away. It doesn't mean that when we practice the Dharma, we have no problems anymore. or that we never get sick, or we don't lose our loved ones. It doesn't happen that way. But we do learn to accept these things, to work with them, to deal with them, and not to see them as an impediment. Not always easy. Again, the practice of faith, to do what's good rather than what's expedient, and to trust that it will work out for the best. All meditations and contemplations are full of treasure and wisdom. Love it. Our own meditations and contemplations are full of treasure and wisdom. And we just need to trust this. Our half-hearted effort to meditate, our trying to understand the scripture of great wisdom, our just trying to follow the way. All our meditations and contemplations are full of treasure and wisdom. To open up to that, our efforts, our study of the Dharma and how to put it into practice, our sincere training and our aspiration for the way, all full of treasure and wisdom. Never doubt this. Never doubt the value of your training. Don't just judge it, thinking it, you know, it's not very good. No matter what we may think of ourselves, no matter what we may think of our training, how much nicer it would be if we were wise and deeply meditating and enlightened and perfectly precept-keeping and all that. Well, we've got what we've got. And it's what we need. Our own difficulties, our own shortcomings, our own strengths and weaknesses. This is what we need, and this is what we have, and this is what we can work with. We get the very thing we need. Doesn't always seem like it, but it's true. Never doubt the value of our own training, our aspiration. We have this great blessing of the Dharma. We're here. This is wonderful. It's rare. There's not 3,000 people in this hall. There's only us. And it's a great opportunity that we have to hear the Dharma, to realize its value, to put it into practice. It's beyond price. And it's for us. It's for all of us. It's not for the good people. It's for us. And because of all of this, the verse says, we pray to the 10 Buddhas. We bow. We venerate the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The 10 Buddhas, in the verse, it's the several Buddhas, Shakyamuni, Maitreya, and then the Bodhisattvas, Samantabhadra, Manjusri, Avalokiteshvara, and scriptures, the scripture of great wisdom, the lotus scripture, and so forth. We ask for the help of all these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We open up to them. Never to underestimate this veneration, bowing, and asking for help. Yesterday we had all these Vietnamese visitors, 55 of them. It was wonderful. They come every year and it's a joy for us. And we see them, they've traveled a long way. They're just overjoyed to be here. Some of them are really old, some of them are young. And some of them can barely walk. And they're overjoyed to be here. There was one lady who could scarcely walk. She says, I've been trying to get here for years. And she was in tears because she was in this place that we could easily take for granted. They came a long way, drove 6 hours to come up here, and they wanted to come to the hall, make bows and chant. They always do this. And then, you know, eat with us. Just enjoy being here. And it's just a short visit. But it was such a wonderful thing to see their sincerity, their faith, their joy in simply doing this thing of coming to the monastery and making offerings, bowing to the Buddha, and the practice of gratitude. It's just exemplary for us. In the West, sometimes we underestimate this. People often think, I don't think we like this, but I think sometimes people think, oh, meditation is where it's at, you know, wisdom, this is what I want, I just want to get wisdom. I miss the whole aspect of bowing, veneration, seeing something much bigger than ourselves. And that is vital, that we have that aspect of bowing, looking to something bigger than me. It's fundamental, and I think often people miss it. So when we have these visitors come, it's a real treat for us, because we see they've been raised with this. They've ingested it with mother's milk, and we are just learning it. But it's a lovely thing to be part of. It's really an honor to have them come. We can learn a lot from people. The simple practice of faith, bowing, veneration, generosity, so simple and profound, you know. Relinquishing our selfishness, that's what it is. You know, not just wanting to get wisdom, but to give ourselves wholeheartedly with both hands, and it repays us a thousandfold, because there's something a lot bigger than us. It's not just about us. And all of this comes down to the practice of faith. Faith in the practice, faith in our ability to do it, faith that we are doing it. Even when we seem to fall off the path for a while, we just get back on and keep on going. Don't worry, just if you haven't broken something, just come back. Faith in humanity, you know, that actually things do get better. There is goodness in our world. Faith in that goodness, that all beings have it. No matter what it looks like and no matter what happens, all of us have goodness within us. None of us is separate from anybody else. We're all part of one being. How could it not be so? And we all have the potential to do harm, likewise. It's not that they're the bad guys and we're the good guys. I think I talked about this some time back. We're all part of one whole. We all have the potential for doing wonderful good and great harm. So no one is separate from anyone else. And just to remember that, when you see some awful thing on the news, there is goodness in these people. There is goodness in those who try to respond to some awful thing. There is goodness in our world. People do learn. Things do change. And yet, it can seem disheartening, but never to give up on humanity or give up on our world. We just keep on trying to do our best and help as we can in whatever way works for us. Faith. Faith in all those who help us. You know, whether it's the Sangha, whether it's our friends and family, whether it's those we do not see, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. Faith in them, opening up to them. There's a whole lot more going on than we see. And when we ask for help for something greater than ourselves, the help we may not even feel, but maybe it just gets us through the night, you know? Whether we think of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas as real beings or as aspects of truth, it doesn't matter. What matters is that practice of faith, of opening up. I cannot do everything by myself. I need help. Whether from other beings, other people, whether from the Buddha, whether from Kanzeon, however we look at it, however we want to do that, we all do it a little differently. And no one's to say one way is better than another. We all train in a slightly different way. We just do our best to relinquish self-partiality, really. Relinquish our selfishness. I want it my way, and I want it now. And what's good to do here? What's best? Very simple. The light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance, and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. It's all a lot bigger than we are. A lot bigger than our little view of things, a lot bigger than our experience or anything we know. And as it is said, always keep your faith like this. Do not be discouraged, just practice the way wholeheartedly without turning back. Just keep leaning into the great mill wheel. It does move. And it is the wheel of the Dharma. It's not different. It's all one thing. And that's our talk for the day. Thank you.